Let us continue to worship our gracious triune God by giving our attention to his written word as it comes to us in St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 10 through 14, as we continue this morning in our Sunday morning series in Paul's letter to the Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, this is the word of God. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law. For the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your written word. Fill us with your Spirit now that we might clearly understand it and take refuge in him who is our only righteousness and eternal blessing, even Christ Jesus our Lord, through whom we pray. Amen. In a recent Geico commercial, a group of friends are in a horror film. They are running for their lives, frantically arguing about where they should hide. One of them points to a house that is clearly haunted and says, let's hide in the attic. Another says, no, the basement. Another one is crying and asks, why can't we just get in the running car? And she points to a beautiful, new, running convertible in which they could easily escape danger. Another friend looks at her and says, are you crazy? And pointing to a shed full of dangling, clanging chainsaws, says, let's hide behind the chainsaws. And they scurry over to hide behind the chainsaws. You then see the man they're trying to escape observe their predictable foolishness and roll his eyes with contempt. Then the narrator says, if you're in a horror movie, you make poor decisions. That's what you do. Well, in this section of his letter to the Galatians, Paul is seeking to show why it is a ridiculously poor decision to try to be justified or declared righteous in God's sight and eternally accepted in God's heaven by trying to keep the law of God. To try to be saved by keeping the law is like hiding behind the chainsaws. It's an absurdly poor decision. But it's a decision that many people make. It's a decision that the Gentile Christians in Galatia were being pressured to make through the false teachers called Judaizers, who were teaching that faith in Jesus will not save you. The law of God must be kept in order to get right with God, they said. So in this section of his letter to the Galatians, Paul tried to frame the issue of justification as clearly as possible. As clear as the decision between hiding behind the chainsaws and getting away in the beautiful purring convertible. What is said here by Paul is really reminiscent of what God said to ancient Israel in Deuteronomy 11:26 when he said, "See, I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse." Or, as another translation put it, "Look, today I am giving you the choice between a blessing and a curse." That is what Paul is doing here in Galatians. The choice is between curse or blessing, death or life, hell or heaven, hiding behind the chainsaws or escaping in the convertible. I want us to consider the two stark alternatives that Paul presents in this passage, which really do get to the heart of the gospel. And the way that sinners can be justified, accepted as righteous in God's sight forever. Paul presents two alternatives, curse or blessing. He says, on the one hand, all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. And on the other hand, all who place their faith in Jesus are under God's blessing forever. So let's consider those two alternatives this morning. In the first place, St. Paul taught that all who rely on works of the law in order to get right with God are under a curse. He explained why this was the case in verse 10 by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26, which said, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." In other words, if you are planning on being justified before God by keeping the law, then you need to know what you're getting into. If you're going to play this game, you need to know the rules. And the rules are not something that you make up or change as you go along. You know, sometimes we do that when we're playing a game, especially kids. You kind of change the rules as you go along to kind of tilt things your way. That's not how this works. God has established objective rules that He has put in place. And here is the most basic rule when it comes to being saved by keeping God's law. You have to keep all of it perfectly. Every moment of every day of your entire life. That's what you're getting into if you choose this first alternative. You are banking your acceptance before God and your eternal destiny on your own perfection. You are banking on you loving God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and loving your neighbor always and in every situation as yourself. Without fail, every moment of your life. So here's what you've got to do. There can be in your life at no point impatience. No unkindness. No envy. No boasting in self. No arrogance or rudeness. no selfishness or irritableness or resentfulness or grudges. No putting your will above God's will ever. No wrong views of God. No laziness. No loss of temper. No sexual immorality, physically, mentally, or emotionally. No gossip. No hate of any kind towards a fellow human being. Only love of God and love of neighbor and a desire to bring glory to God rather than self in all things at all times. That's the rule. The question is not whether you are better than others, better than your ex-spouse, or your current spouse, or your ex-boyfriend, or your ex-girlfriend, or your current boyfriend, or your current girlfriend, or your current or past friends, or enemies, or your parents, or your children, or your siblings, or your co-workers, or your neighbors, or whether you meet some other standard you've placed on yourself. The question is whether you have and will always have met and will always meet God's standard of perfect purity, character, and love. His own holy character and the holy character that He designed us to have and which Adam and Eve did have before they fell into sin, rebelling against God. That's the standard you have to meet. Paul was saying that if you want to justify yourself, that's what you've got to do. Every moment of every day of your entire life. Otherwise, you are under a curse. What did Paul mean by curse? It's a word he uses in one form or another five times in this brief passage. By curse, St. Paul meant the full weight of God's judgment for sin. In other words, God's righteous wrath against sin. It's what sinners in hell experience for eternity. That is what Paul was talking about when he said that those who rely on their own works for salvation are under God's curse. That's the objective and eternal curse that he was talking about. But there's also a subjective and experiential and temporal curse, a curse that we experience in this life if we decide that we want to go with that first alternative and bank our justification on our performance. And Tim Keller has a wonderful insight on that element of the curse that we experience when we try to justify ourselves. He put it this way: psychologically, everyone who is seeking to save themselves by their own performance will experience a curse subjectively. At the very least, attempting to be saved by works will lead to a profound anxiety and insecurity, because you can never be sure that you are living up to your standards sufficiently, whatever they may be. This makes you overly sensitive to criticism. It makes you envious and intimidated by others who outshine you. It makes you nervous and timid because you are unsure of where you stand, or it makes you swaggering and boastful because you are trying to convince yourself of where you stand. Either way, you live with a sense of curse and condemnation. So primarily and objectively, we are under God's curse, his holy condemnation for sin, when we rely on our own good deeds, our own performance, our human effort to save us, because we are not perfect. And secondarily and subjectively, we are under a curse, brothers and sisters, and all who are listening to my voice today, we are under a curse when we rely on our own good deeds to justify us because we are unsure of where we stand, insecure in our justification, always feeling that we need to do more in order to feel secure. Thus, as we've already talked about in our study of Galatians, we try to measure ourselves by others. We compete with others, trying to show that we are nicer than they are, or more religious than they are, or morally superior to them, or more theologically accurate than they are, or whatever, better at handling money, or more intelligent, or more athletic, or whatever, in order to make ourselves feel more secure in our justification. And of course, it never works. So we keep ratcheting up such competitions as life goes on. So that's the first alternative. Paul wants us to see that it is the rickety shed full of dangling chainsaws as a refuge from danger. He says, don't go down that path. All who rely on works of the law are under a curse. The second alternative, when it comes to a means of being justified before God, is placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, if you do this, you will be blessed by God forever. That is the promise of the gospel. Eternal blessing through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said, beginning in verse 11, now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. So the law and faith teach two very different things. They demand two very different things. Law and grace are built on two very different things. The law says, do this and you shall live. Grace says, trust in Christ who has done it all for you and you shall live. Paul quoted the Old Testament prophet Habakkuk as well as the book of Leviticus to show that law and faith are polar opposites when it comes to justification. One is powerless, the other is powerful. One is futile, the other is fruitful. One leads to death, the other leads to eternal life. One is a curse, the other is a blessing. As William Hendrickson put it, relying on works of the law as the means of justification is the very opposite of faith. The two cannot be combined. Leaning on law means leaning on self. Exercising faith means leaning on Christ. As avenues by which men attempt to obtain salvation, the two simply do not mix. They are thoroughly antagonistic. In verses 13 and 14, Paul highlighted what Christ did for us that makes faith in him the only means of salvation. In other words, what makes Christ unique? Well, it's because he's the God-man. He's uniquely the God-man, the Word who became flesh, and he's unique in what he did for us. Paul said, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, a curse instead of us, in place of us. For it is written in Deuteronomy 21:23, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of eternal life in the land, the new heavens and the new earth, the enjoyment of God's blessing forever and ever, the blessing of Abraham that God first promised to Abraham that would come to the nations through Abraham, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we, in other words, we all, Jew and Gentile alike, who believe in Christ, might receive the promised Spirit through faith. So here Paul gets to the beautiful exchange of the gospel. On the cross, Jesus, who never sinned, who really did fulfill the law, who really did love God the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love neighbor as himself, indeed lay down his life for his enemies, Jesus, who never sinned, bore our sin and died the death that we deserve, in order that we can have his righteousness and new abundant life in his Spirit simply by placing our faith in him. Look away from self. Look away from trying to clean yourself up. Look away from others and comparing yourself to others. And get real with God and confess your sin to him and place your faith in Jesus, who loved you and gave himself for you. That's how we know God's eternal blessing. Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. In the Old Testament, the bodies of especially heinous lawbreakers were hanged from a tree after they had been stoned to death to show that they were cursed by God. Crucifixion was not a mode of execution then. They stoned to death criminals. But those who were especially heinous, and they wanted to make an example of them and demonstrate that this person was rejected by God and under God's curse, they would hang that person for some time on a tree as a symbol of the curse of God against sin. Well, Jesus, the sinless, eternal, beloved Son of God, voluntarily allowed his body to be nailed to a tree, the old rugged cross, in order to become the ultimate curse for our sins, in order to purchase us from the curse we deserve by his precious blood. We are the ones who belonged there. Not Jesus. We deserve the hell he went through, the curse he endured. But out of love for us, the Father gave his Son to endure it. Out of love for us, the Son endured it on the cross. And out of love for us, the Holy Spirit brings to all who place their faith in Jesus the forgiveness and resurrection life of Christ. Again, William Hendrickson beautifully describes the stark contrast between law and faith as means of justification. He said, "Those who expect to be justified by the law are even more foolish than those who imagine they can quench their thirst by drinking salt water. But through faith in Christ and by the ministry of His Spirit, the thirst of believers is quenched by the river of grace, full, flowing, freshening, fructifying, and free." The salt water of the law to try to quench your thirst, or the river of grace to quench your thirst, to be right with God. St. Paul was seeking to show the Galatians that the difference between the curse of the law and the blessing of faith in Christ was even greater than the difference between the shed of chainsaws and the purring convertible ready to take you to safety. You say, "I'll never look at that commercial the same." Well, that's my goal. I want you to think of the gospel and the absurdity of law works as a means of salvation every time you see it. And I want you to think of the clarity of the gospel, to turn from trying to compare yourself to others and jockey for position and standing and trying to work your way into God's favor and cleanse your conscience through your works, and turn to Jesus and believe in Him alone for salvation and have all your sins washed away, have your conscience washed clean, and have the confidence given us by the Spirit that the Father loves us with the same love He loves His own Son. That's the gospel. That's the freedom you and I can live in as we look away from self and look to Christ. To Paul, the choice was obvious. That's why he began chapter 3 by asking, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" He might have added, "Why are you going into the shed full of chainsaws, Galatians?" May we repent of foolish pride, which leads us to compare ourselves to others and put confidence in ourselves as a means of justification. May we instead lean wholly on Jesus, trusting, boasting, and rejoicing in Jesus alone. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.